Let's open with hymn number 227. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest me iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father
and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord filleth the world. Hallelujah. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. With you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou almighty Son of God, we beseech thee send thy Holy Spirit into our hearts through thy word, that he may rule and govern us according to thy will, comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us by thy truth against every error, so that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and all good works, and firmly trusting in thy grace, which through death thou hast purchased for us, obtain eternal salvation, thou who reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this, the Feast of Pentecost, is found in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, the 22nd through the 28th verse. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the second chapter of Acts, the 1st through the 13th verse. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear, each in our own languages in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." Here ends the epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The gospel for this day is found in the 14th chapter of John, the 23rd through the 31st verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light,
very God of very God,
begotten, not made,
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried.
And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father.
And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead,
whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified,
who spake by the prophets.
And I believe in one Holy Christian and Apostolic Church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 224.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 14th chapter of John, the 23rd through the 31st verse. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do." Here ends our text. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, by thy power, enter into our hearts with the hearing of thy word, that we might always hold fast to our Savior Jesus Christ and keep every one of his words. Amen. Dear brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you love your parents, you will keep their words. That means you will hear them and obey them. When you do not hear the words of your parents, you're showing that you do not love them, or that you love them but little. You might make all sorts of excuses as to why your disobedience or disrespect was good and right. But the hard truth is that your disobedience shows that you do not love them. These are harsh words, and yet they are true so long as your parents have not ordered you to hurt or harm your neighbor, or take what is not rightly yours, or some other sin. Parents are sinners, and they do sometimes. And so sometimes this does happen, but far more often it is you and not them who are wrong. And by not heeding their words, you are showing that you do not love them. You love only yourself. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He who does not love me does not keep my words." Our earthly parents or other authorities may err, but Jesus and the Father in heaven never err. Their word is always good and right. Therefore, it is always the case that if you do not keep the word of Jesus, then you do not love him. Do you love Jesus? Most people would answer that question yes, but what does Jesus say? He shows you how to judge your own love for him. Do you keep his words? Do you hear them and obey them? Or do you often shy away from his words and break them? If you break his words, then you do not love Jesus. Perhaps you think you do keep his words. Well, let us then remember what his words actually say, and see if this is true. Jesus says that you should love your enemies. He says that if you even call your brother an idiot, that is raka, you should go to hell. He says that if you lust after another person only with your eyes, you are guilty of adultery. These are all Jesus' words. And his words are not the words of a mere man, as he himself said, but he speaks what the Father says. Do you hear and keep them, or have you often broken them?
In the end, you must admit that you have despised the word of Jesus just as much as those who openly hate him. How can this be? Like Simon Peter, who denied Jesus three times, you know that you love Jesus. How then can you treat his word so? Because your nature, what you are when you're born into this world, is dead. Your heart by itself is a stone. And until your body dies, you will continue to have a nature that hates Jesus and wants to break his word. What hope then is there for you? There is great hope indeed. For the same Jesus who said these things to you also says to you, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Even as your heart condemns you, Jesus tells you, "Peace. Do not be afraid." This word, too, is the truth. If Jesus says to you that he gives you his peace, then it must be so. He must take away every reason for you to be afraid. He must take away your sin. He must set things right so that you do not have to die for your iniquity, but can live in peace and depart this life in peace. How can this be? After all, even when we want to love Jesus, our own sinful nature hates him. The answer is that when you keep Jesus' words, you keep all of his words. You keep even that word which condemns you. You do not turn away from it. You acknowledge its truth. But you also keep his gospel, where he grants you pardon and peace and everlasting life because you believe in him. Yet if you by nature do not love Jesus, and by nature you do not keep his word and cannot keep his word, how can you possibly believe this at all? How can anyone be saved? The answer is found in this promise which Jesus speaks to his disciples. "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The Holy Spirit comes from the Father himself. He does not come to burn and destroy us, for he comes in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is the name of our salvation. Where man can only fail, God himself steps in and succeeds. And indeed, he doesn't just inspire the words of the apostles and bring all things to their remembrance and give them the ability to teach others. He comes to us also. And he takes away our stony heart, which cannot hear the word of God or believe it. And he gives to us a new heart, a heart of flesh, which not only hears the word of God, but loves it and keeps it. Ezekiel foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit, not just on the day of Pentecost, but for all of the church until the end of the world. Hear it again, for this too is the word of Jesus. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Here is the reason that we can be at peace according to Jesus' word. First, God sprinkles us with clean water and cleanses us from all the filth of our sin. All the ways in which we do not keep his word, he washes away in the waters of baptism. Then look at the wonderful things that his Spirit does in us. He dwells in us and gives us a living heart in place of our heart of stone. This new heart loves the word of Jesus. It wants to hear and to obey his voice. It wants to keep his word. That is the difference between the dead and the living. The dead have to be pushed around and forced to move. The living move all by themselves. And so our old dead heart cannot love God and cannot obey his word. But our new living heart, which is created in us by the power of God's Spirit, not only desires to keep every word of Jesus, but actually does keep them. When the word of God condemns us, because we still have our old sinful heart, by the power of the Spirit, we submit to that word and admit, yes, I am unworthy of any good thing from God. And then we rejoice in the word of peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You are washed. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Remember the words of Luther's Small Catechism, where he explains this work of the Holy Spirit in the third article of the Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Where we could not love Jesus, could not come to him, Jesus sent his Spirit to us. Where we could not cleanse our heart from sin, the Holy Spirit has come to us by the gospel and planted the peace of Jesus in our hearts so that we believe his word and by faith are counted righteous by the merits of Jesus. Where we could do no good, the power of God dwells in us, giving us the desire and the strength to obey his voice, to love our neighbor, and do every manner of good works. Where we had no love for Jesus and only love for ourselves, the Holy Spirit came in and planted God's own love within us, so that it is not just God's love, it has now become our love. What a miracle this is. It is life from death. And it is a miracle that has not ceased since the day of Pentecost. It happens every day. It is happening here among us right now. It happens all over the world. Wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, wherever the cleansing water of baptism is sprinkled, and wherever the Lord's Supper is received. Such incredible power and a boundless return of souls. Far more today than when Jesus walked this earth. In going away and sending the Holy Spirit, he works in the world more powerfully than when he preached with his own audible voice. Even as he told his disciples, greater works than these shall you do. And indeed they did. Therefore, the going away of Jesus to the Father is a cause for great joy. The Father in heaven is greater than the man Jesus Christ. That means that Jesus is going to take his place at the right hand of God. That means that our dear brother Jesus, the same one who suffered and died for our sins, is now ruling with all of the divine power of God, which was his from eternity. The disciples thought that Jesus going away would be reason for sadness. But as they themselves found, it was cause for great joy. For it was not only then that Jesus sent his Spirit to work in great power. It was only then, not just in Israel, but in all the world. Once God confounded the languages of men, so that when at first man had a single speech, now they had multiple speeches, so they could not dwell together as one people. God did this so that their sinful natures could not work together to destroy all that he had created, so that they could not make it impossible to bring an everlasting peace through the promised Savior. But now that Christ has finished the work of redemption and ascended into heaven, the promise of all those ages has been fulfilled. And therefore, on the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit to reverse what he had done at Babel. After Babel, the Spirit was at work in the hearts of men only among this small nation of Israel, for that is the only place where his word was preached. But after Pentecost, he united all the world once more, speaking the gospel of salvation in every language to every people. And he has not ceased to do this work. He continues to spread abroad his wonderful workings, coming in the name of Jesus, entering into the hearts of men everywhere by baptism and by preaching the gospel, and implanting the love of God where there was once only spiritual death. As our catechism continues, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and will at the last day raise up me and all the dead and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. And so the Holy Spirit is among us today, working in great power to convert, to preserve, and to keep us in Jesus Christ. Here among us, in our hearts, God has planted his love, the love by which he forgave all our sins, and the love by which we perform many good works. Therefore, let us keep his word and rejoice to show his love among men, working indeed every good work and speaking with joy of our salvation in every land and in every tongue, and receiving one another as one holy Christian church in the love of Jesus, which has cleansed us from all sin. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, heavenly Father, who hast poured out thy Holy Spirit upon thy church, that he may abide with it forever, preserving it in the true faith of thy holy word,
and enlightening it with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Establish our faith that our salvation may be firmly grounded in thy Son. We thank thee that by thy Spirit we have been called to faith in Jesus Christ, given belief in thy word, and gathered into the fellowship of thy holy church. Sanctify us that we may be meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. To this end, direct us to the witness of thy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, that we may become increasingly wise unto salvation. Enable us to resist the devil, to follow Christ, and so perform works of righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. To that end, shed thy Spirit upon us that we may remember again the love of Jesus Christ, which he demonstrated on his cross, that we might find in each day the comfort of the forgiveness of sins, love our Savior with all our hearts and minds, and keep his word. Let the Comforter continue to descend upon thy church through the divine gifts of the word and sacraments, that she may be strong in faith. Stir up thy church, O Lord, and imbue her with zeal to seek the lost, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring comfort to the imprisoned, to heal the afflicted, and to cheer all that mourn. Give thy Spirit room in our homes, that he may also instruct our children in the paths of righteousness, and endow every parent with wisdom and prudence, so that together the family may adorn the name of Christ with godliness and honor. Govern all nations upon the earth and help them to acknowledge thy power, dominion, and righteous judgment, so that they may turn from their evil ways and live. Give unto our land and all in authority firmness in the right and steadfastness in integrity, and be thou our shield and buckler. To all in trial or tribulation, the sick, the weary, the oppressed, the fearful, the needy, and the lonely, give the peace of Christ. Let their cry come unto thee, and grant them all needful things. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing hymn number 231.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens, and sitting on thy right hand, poured out on this day the Holy Spirit, as he had promised, upon the chosen disciples, whereat the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Away.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
given into death for all your sins. Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Prepared before the face of all people.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 230. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.